This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
So I'm coming out of a office building with my wife in Beverly Hills in February. And I said to her, as we purchased a sandwich and we were going to sit at a table, and by the way, if you want to go people watching, Beverly Hills is the best. I'm not talking about freaks or stoners or winos. I mean just like the rich people. They don't know how weird they look. Getting out of their Rolls Royce with their purple pants and the multi-million dollar breasts but no ass, like Jack Nicholson said in Carnal Knowledge, almost no ass at all. And that bothered me. So I'm coming out of the building, and I said to my wife, let's get something to eat. So we went over to the sandwich shop, and you know, you get those sandwiches, you sit down at a table, cup of coffee or whatever, and I'm sitting there, catching a moment of, you know, for lunch with your wife. And I said to her, what would you think about me leaving radio and pursuing a career in front of the camera as opposed to behind the microphone? And she kind of looked up from her tuna fish and dabbed the crumbs from her mouth and said, why? And I began to explain to her that I felt like I was bumping my head against the ceiling. If you've ever gone up, anybody ever gone up a staircase that literally ends at the ceiling? Sometimes they seal off the second floor of a building, but they forget to take out the stairs. And so you got nowhere to go because there's a ceiling there, and yet there's stairs. There's still somewhere to walk. And I said to her, I feel like I'm bumping my head up against the ceiling. I feel like there's so much that I want to do, but I can't do it where I'm at. She said, in radio or just the company you work for? I said, the terrestrial radio world is a business model that has been in existence since the post-war years. It's a very lean operation. It gets by with a minimum of overhead, and it had to, because it was under assault from a new medium called television for the longest time, and radio had to find a way to survive. Well, that model still exists, even though today radio is making more money than ever before. There's a profit margin in radio that people in television only dream about. You think they make money? You think they make money in TV? The profit margin in radio is something TV executives only dream about. But it's not about money. It was about something bigger than that. Frankly, I think it's bigger than money, and it has to do with, am I doing something on a radio that really doesn't belong there anymore? Am I doing something on the radio that is frustrating me, not because I shouldn't be doing it, but that I should be doing it in a different medium? Because what I've been doing for 16 years is I've been playing characters. Now, in the radio world, what I do is called doing voices or doing impressions, or some people call it ventriloquism, but that's not really what it is. What it is I create a character and I play the part of a character. Only difference is from most other kinds of presentations where there are people playing characters, I play a whole lot of different ones. Now, that's something that is not readily understood in the medium of radio. It's understood in movies and television and theater because that's what people do in that medium. In this medium, it is not very widely done, if at all, other than this show. And I said to her that day, as we sat and we ate our tuna fish sandwich and I had my latte, I said, I don't think I can go any further now. She says, are you all out of ideas? I said, no, I'm not. But I don't think the environment can support me anymore. I don't think that the business of radio can support me any longer. And I'm tired of expecting more from the environment, from the medium than it can offer at this time. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying there. You remember old Clint Eastwood in the movie, what was the flick, Magnum Force? He says, man's got to know his limitations. Remember when Hal Holbrook blows himself to bits? Well, look, I know that there are limitations in all of us. And there are certain limitations to the business of radio that preclude it from being able to support the kind of show that I do. I'll give an example of what I mean. If I have the Rush Limbaugh show, I'm a lucky guy. That show gets lots of listeners. If I don't, I need something that sounds kind of like that. If I have the Dr. Laura show, I'm lucky. It gets a lot of listeners. If I don't, I need something that sounds kind of like that. So what we're living in is a world where there's a lot of knockoff radio shows right now in order to fill a need, and the need, the perceived need, is for more Rush Limbaugh, Dr. Laura, Howard Stern-style shows. And the other good thing about that is that you can just put those shows on your station and forget about them. They just magically draw listeners, or they don't. But you don't have to worry about promoting it or putting any real effort into telling the audience about it. You just do it. Plus, there isn't a talk station in America that can't incorporate on the same station a Rush Limbaugh, Dr. Laura, even a Jim Rome show, because of the uniform way that radio is constructed now. The problem with my show is that it is a completely different presentation, and it is not a presentation that the radio business is used to promoting, let alone being able to describe or market or anything else. And so they talk about bumping up against the ceiling in many ways. While I feel I'm kind of limited, I'm sure that people who have attempted to understand the radio show that I have find themselves maybe a little bit limited in being able to grasp it. And so I found myself dealing with all of this and getting to the point where I felt like I had to make a decision. And I don't even know if any of this is coming out right, but this is the way it's coming out, so gonna have to follow it. Now, over the last 6 years, I've gotten calls from people in the TV and movie business. I didn't look for contact from those people. They called me. And every now and again, they'd say, would you like to do this or would you like to do that? Would you like to write a script? Would you like to play a part? Hey, yeah, if I have the time. And I always said, my radio show is number one. When we got the TV show Teachers, and I went and I did that show over at Sony with, you know, with Justin and the Sarahs and Matt and everybody, I had a lot of fun doing it because I was working with really good actors. I also found myself doing something that I found fairly easy to do, because instead of doing four characters a day, I was doing one. And instead of having to write the whole show myself, somebody else was. And instead of having to worry about producing it, somebody else was. And instead of having to worry about is it being promoted properly, that was taken care of in another department. And instead of having to worry about anybody complaining about the material on the show, well, I'll let the producers deal with that. I'm just an actor. Not only that, but I was getting paid pretty good. And not only that, I realized that what I was doing was exactly what I've been doing for 16 years behind a microphone. I was playing a character. And it was a sad day when I finally came to the conclusion, after having that lunch with my wife, walking back to our cars and going our separate ways, she back to the house, me off to work. When I thought more about it, and I realized I can't do my radio show anymore, because I've gone as far as I can with this show in the present business environment of radio. It's not that I don't want to. It's that I don't want to keep doing this show and being frustrated trying to get it to more people when it's simply not within the capability. And this is not a criticism. It's just not within the capability of the medium I'm working in. It's used to something else. And I really am getting too old, to be honest with you, to try to keep educating people as to how a radio show like mine, which is a very theatrical, highly stylized piece of work, how it actually does fit in with the radio medium, with the art of broadcasting. Because I really believe this, and I don't mean this egotistically. I honestly believe this. I don't think there's anybody that knows more about the art of broadcasting than I do. I only say that because I've been kicking around for so long. Either you get it or you don't, man. If you've been around 33 years and you're not the best at what you do, if you've been doing something for 30 years and you're not the best at it, do something else. If you've been doing the same job for 33 years like I have, and you are not the very best at what you are doing, you've been in the wrong business. And after 33 years, I honestly believe that as it pertains to sitting behind a microphone, nobody is better than me. I'm not saying that out of ego. I'm just telling you, you can't last this long, man, without learning something. And so on that February day when I left my wife and I began driving to work, I realized that I'd reached a point, just like I had back in 1990 when I decided that I was going to do this kind of radio show, because I've only been doing this show for 16 years. And in 1990, I realized I had a big decision to make. That was either I was going to be committed 100% to the game of radio, to the business of radio, to the broadcasting art, or I wasn't going to do it at all. And that began a journey of 16 years that brought me to this point. I was making $1,500 a month in Ventura, California. 16 years later, I am worth millions. No, I'm secure and sitting here with a nationally syndicated show and very nice people listening to me and a forum that few broadcasters have. So, and doing a show, by the way, I got to tell you, that I have more fun doing. I honest to God, I don't laugh as hard at anything as I do listening to this crap that we do every night. I'm not kidding you, man. When Mark plays those flashbacks, I mean, I wish I could tell you that, you know, I'd like to be self-effacing and more modest and say, well, you know, it's some of this stuff just makes me piss myself. I'm not kidding you. I mean, why not? I mean, that's been my goal. My goal all along has been to come in here and do the funniest freaking radio show in the history of man on this planet. I think I've done that. So, really, I mean, what more is there to do? If it's not more widely known, say, than a Howard show, that's beyond my control. That's beyond my control. I can't do anything about that. That's in the hands of other people. And that's what I'm telling you about. I'm telling you that at this point in the history of the radio business, the medium is not ready. It's not capable yet of interpreting a show like mine to a broader base of people. And I have tried in my own way to tell people how they might do that. But in the end, look it. I don't want to compare myself to Columbus, but I'm going to have to. The guy stands there, he says, the world's round. And there's cats there going, no, it isn't. It's flat. Well, look it. If I go out there, no, you jackass. You'll fall off the edge. Everybody knows. But I really think that and I'm not giving you any money for it, so bug off. Now, you know how Columbus was when he finally went to America? Do you know how old he was? He was in his 40s, man. He was in his late 40s. He never was able to realize his dream until he got to middle age. And he finally got the bread from the Queen of England, or of Spain. And the only reason why she gave him the bread is because she really wanted it. She believed some story she's going to get a double her return, you know? So, like, I got an investment for you. What? Now, over here, I can go, well, okay, yeah, lay it on me, you know, because she had to, fight a war. But the Flat Earth Society, man, there's no way. Sometimes I felt as I was doing my radio show, like I was standing there saying, I know that we can go over that. No, you can't do that. And I understand, and that's okay, because I ain't Christopher Columbus. But there's one thing that I have control over, and that is what I will do with my life and my career. So I have to take a break for our commercial announcements. I'll come back. I'll continue to tell you the story of what was decided by myself and my family, and there was a press release today on it. So if you think I'm kidding, you can go to the internet
Phil's doing shtick right now, isn't he?
No, it's on the Drudge Report.
Yeah, but that's a shtick site. Drudge.
All right, 1-800. Well, I'm not going to give the number. I don't want any phone calls. I'm going to talk, and that's it. I'm talking all the way until 10, and then I'm going to go downstairs, and I'll be having a. I've got a flask, a hip flask of John Brown, and I'll be down there and taking questions. I'll be right back. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
When you don't give out the phone number to your show and people still call, that's the kind of thing that I've been working against for 33 years. Hello, everyone. I'm Phil Hendry, and this is, oh, God, please find a life, take an ad out, and get a life now.com. Do you know the phone numbers of talk shows, even though they haven't given the number out in months? You really need to take an ad out, maybe in a recycler that says wanted, something to do. Because as I sat here during the break, I'm kidding around, but as you know, if you know this show, and if you don't know this show, keep listening, because I have a tale to tell of the American dream, a tale to tell of career, a life spent working on the impossible. National Geographic presents Phil Hendry in the Wild. So, there I was, and I got to work that day, and I finally decided I have this opportunity. Now, I don't have any idea whether the TV show Teachers is going to go another season or not. My instinct is no. Why? Because that's how I feel about it. I just feel that, yeah, we had a pretty strong week last week in terms of the ratings. In fact, we even beat last year's The Office's numbers last year. We did better than their season finale. So what does that tell you? But we tanked last week, and I think that's the kind of thing a network looks at. And you can say to them, well, yeah, but look. They always look at the worst thing, and that's fine. That's their business. I'm not trying to tell anybody their business. I'm not trying to tell anybody in radio their business. I'm done doing that. I'm not trying to tell anybody in TV their business. I just know what the business of Phil Hendry is. And the business of Phil Hendry, I have an edge to me. I have stuff that I want to say that's really dark, but also really funny. And there's only so far that I can go in radio with any of that. And that doesn't have anything to do with saying poo-poo or doo-doo or talking about some chick's... By the way, you know, I don't want to use the TI word, but I hear people do it all the time, and nobody finds them from the FCC, and they don't get fired. How come I'm the guy that's got to get it? I heard some amateur on the air one day, not too long ago, using the TI, and I don't know the other letter, but it ends with an S, about a chick's breasts, and you're not supposed to say it because the FCC says that's a no-no, and this guy's on the air saying it. And what's happening is he gets to say it. The company doesn't fire him. You know why? Because he's an idiot. He's an amateur. Well, we hired him. He doesn't know anything about that. So the guy that is the broadcaster gets canned. And the guy who says that, who's the amateur that got fired, he, like, that guy Paul Jones over there, used to be with, Sex Pistols? That was a good band. And he's an interesting guy. You can't say the F word, Paul. You know why? Because I said you can't. Not the FCC, me. If I can't say it, you can't say it. And if I hear you use it again, I'm coming over there and I'm going to beat you up. That's right. I'm going to beat you, a Sex Pistol, up. Because I will not have anybody using the F word on the air that I can't use it. Anybody uses it, I do. Maybe Stern, then me. Not you, Jones. You play your drums, man. Or what's his name, Cook? Who's the jackball that played the drums for the... Steve Jones. What did I call him? Paul Jones? John Paul Jones? Wasn't he in Led Zeppelin and also in the Revolutionary War Navy? I'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. I've got more to tell of this story as we continue on my story.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
In this segment, Phil finally gets to what he's leading up to. So there I was after having lunch with my wife and asking her, honey, what do you think about me retiring? And her eyes widened. She said, well, we'll have to take a look at where we stand financially. I think we can do it. Fortunately, because of her, we've got money put away in retirement. We do own a nice piece of property. We have a couple of investments. In other words, that's one other thing. When you look at a guy and you say he's got a couple of bucks put away, what you should keep in mind is, well, that's kind of what you're supposed to do, because you don't want to wind up living on your kids. Believe me, you don't want to get to the point where you're living on your kids, and your kids don't want to support your ass either. I don't care what they say. So we got a couple of bucks. She said, well, you know, I think that I talked to my agent, a guy that I've known for 10 years, David Katz, who I consider a friend as well as an agent. And he said to me, are you sure that you don't want to have the radio platform from which you can still sort of get your kicks, you know? I said, well, I'd like to really get my kicks, man. And the only place where I see that it's even remotely possible now in the radio world, it just so happens that at this point in my radio career, there's a thing called satellite. Now, I've been a very, very big believer in satellite since the beginning. The reason why is because I didn't want to make the same mistake twice. And what was the first mistake? I was sitting in a telecommunications class when I was 18 years old, and I was sitting listening to this Dr. Robert Wright. And he said to us, cable, 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 cable. And we all looked at him like he just landed on the freaking Starship Enterprise. What do you mean cable, man? Well, do you realize if I'd actually investigated what that man was saying way back in 1970, I would have invested in a cable company, and today I'd own you. You know, I like the guy said, this watch is worth more than your car. Alec Baldwin for Timex. I mean, seriously, if I had listened, if I knew, I didn't have any idea. So when I saw the next thing come along that is the next cable, satellite radio, I said, well, it doesn't take a brain surgeon. People love to listen to the radio, man. They love it. And not only that, it is the only medium that still is up and running when there's an earthquake or a hurricane. Think about it. For all of our chit-chat about internet, television, everything else, the only damn thing that's still working after a bloody earthquake levels the city or a hurricane floods everything is a damn radio. Turn on the damn radio. I don't care what happened. There it is. There's a radio. So it's the most pervasive medium. So it only stands to reason that satellite would be something people would want to take advantage of, because it offers commercial-free music, and it also has the opportunity to provide an adult-style form of entertainment that is not necessarily beholden to a federal regulatory agency or sponsors, advertisers who may not like the content. And well, that is the future. And if there is anywhere that there is a possible place, a possible home for Phil Hendry's radio show, it is in that area, this new area called satellite radio. Barring that, there is no point in me going on with this radio show. As much as I enjoy doing this show, I don't enjoy knowing how good it is, knowing really and truly how good, how funny this show is, and seeing it banging its head against the ceiling, watching us every day working, trying to, it's like a 9-foot-tall guy trying to bust out of a little tiny box, you know? Sooner or later, he's going to break the door down. You know, they can't build the box big enough for him. Be like a kid getting too big for his high chair, and you got to keep rebuilding the high, you know. Or if you've ever had sons, you know what it's like to see a son get bigger and eat more and more. Okay, so that's a gallon of milk there. Yeah, is there any more? Oh, yeah, I've got 6 more cows. Seriously, man, I do a barbecue, and okay, Alex, you'll have 2 steaks. I know that. And you 3? Okay. Forget it, man. You know, if I buy steaks and I got 3 teenage sons, okay, your usual 2,
How many hamburgers do you want? Four or five? Seriously, I mean, it's four or five. You know, and you can't feed them fast enough, man. They're getting bigger. Well, that's how I feel about our show. We are so desirous of going places that, you know, where no man has gone before, as Captain Kirk said, but we ain't got the Starship Enterprise. You know, we're still kind of we're in a pretty good aircraft, but we need the Starship Enterprise. This radio show needs a spaceship. And it doesn't exist. Not yet. There's a possibility that the satellite world might be able to support it. Now, here is why I don't immediately jump on that. And I'll tell you why. For 16 years, I've been doing characters on the radio. I get paid pretty good. I think I get paid pretty good. But when you do the same thing on TV, and I'm allowed to concentrate on just one character as opposed to four, and I'm making way more money, then I have to look at that as a viable career option. Not only that, but it's more fun in the long run. The reason is, if I can't do my radio show, I would rather do something like that where I can concentrate on just one aspect of the business, and that is acting. Doing it in front of a camera instead of behind a microphone. And if you really want to know the truth, I think for 16 years I've been hiding behind this microphone. And maybe the answer to my problem is this. I've overstayed my time in radio. I should have been doing this 5, 6, 10 years ago. You're really funny, Phil. You really do these great characters. Yeah, well, I guess what I ought to do is do it on TV. No, because your show is so unique for radio. No one's ever heard it before. Yeah, I know. And thank you very much. I appreciate it. But fact is, I think I've been hiding behind a microphone here a little bit. And if I got any, you know, manhood at all, what I ought to do is get over there and stick it in front of a TV camera and see how that flies. I got a lot of ideas. I have a lot of things that I want to write. I have a lot of things that I want to explore. And I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it anymore doing this radio show. And believe me, man, when I tell you I love radio, it goes all the way back to when I was a five-year-old kid and we were going to Canada. We were going to visit my grandma and grandpa in Toronto. And my dad had a 56 Thunderbird, red and black two-tone. And he piled four kids and a wife into that 56 Thunderbird, and off we set from Los Angeles to Toronto, Canada, with four screaming kids, a wife, traveling through the desert. I'll never forget, our first stop was Needles, Arizona, in the middle of the night, because my dad was one of these guys. All right, we're traveling, all right, we're leaving at 8 o'clock. Well, how come? Because I am not going through the desert in June in the middle of the day. Bing! Ring up, there we go. Yeah, I'm glad you're on the same page. And as we traveled across the country, at night, it seemed like always at night, maybe it's because everybody was asleep and I was the only one awake, my father and I. And my dad would be driving and I was standing up in the days before car seats with my arms resting against the front seat. And I was looking out through the windshield and my father was looking out as I saw this dark snake of a highway. And I heard this radio that my dad had on, and I would listen to the radio stations fading in and out from Denver, Colorado, Cheyenne, Wyoming. And you'd hear the voice of some guy in Chicago, and they all sounded the same. They all sounded friendly, and they were talking to me, and they were live, and they were telling me what the temperature was and what it was like in their town and playing these cool songs. And I remember thinking, even at that age, I got to do this. I didn't think you got paid for it. I don't know what adults really did for money. I just knew they went off and did cool stuff. And I figured they got a check from someone. God sent them a check. If they went off and did cool stuff, then God would give them a check. So that's when I really dug it, and I said, I want to do this. I never thought about doing anything else. I never thought about doing anything else. Briefly, I wanted to be a writer. So I did it. The problem is, the ideas that I had, the things I wanted to do on the radio were so big. I want to do everything with this medium. I wanted it so that, and I think we actually achieved this on our show,
I wanted it to sound like when you turned my show on, you didn't know whether you were hearing a radio show, whether you tapped into a party line, whether you'd stuck your head against the door and were listening to two psychos going at it. I wanted it to be so surreal that when you flipped on the Phil Hendry show, you'd never heard anything like it before on the radio. And we did that. We achieved that. I wanted to play an hour's worth of Hitler's Reichstag speech. I wanted to do fake character voices interacting with real people. I wanted to have celebrities on getting chumped. I don't know what I wanted to do. I just wanted to do it all. I wanted to pretend like I was Saddam Hussein, and I had all kinds of ideas. And we did them all, I think. And I still got ideas. But I realized over the last 9 months, 10 months, there was no more room for the ideas that I had. I maxed out. The room's getting too small or something. I don't know what it is. I'm not talking about you guys. But my abilities in this medium seem to have outpaced where our business is at right now. And so I'm going to leave radio. And we'll give you that date when I'm leaving radio when we come back after this word from Bob's Car Alarms. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So I think I got to the point, didn't I, that I'm going to be leaving radio. I'll tell you when. And I want to just fill in a few more blanks. And this may take another hour and a half, 2-3 hours. I may be here till tomorrow morning, so I'd like stations.
An alert. We are preempting all programming. George Norrie can kiss it. Kiss it high and wide.
I just saw George, by the way, who shook my hand and said, Phil, I love you. And I said, you're kidding, right? He said, no, seriously. And I was embarrassed. I said, are you in love with me? He said, yes, I am. And I said, George, if this gets out, he said, I know. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And I said, George, and I tried to hug him, and then he tried to kiss me. And it got crazy. So I called him a queer, and he came back into the room with a gun and shot me. And this is the ghost of Phil Hendry talking to you now. And I'm going to be a guest on George's show later on. Now, moving along. So I said to my wife, I'm going to do it. Now, here's the thing. I'm 5'3", 53. Not that it means anything to me, but it seems to be important to a lot of people. You know, it's funny. If you're 53, you're a certain thing. If you're 33, you're a certain thing. If you're 23, you're a certain thing. I don't know what that thing is, but you are, and there's nothing you can do about it. You just are. If you're 15, you're a certain thing. You are, it's beyond your control. You're perceived as a certain thing. And all of your life, you'll have to fight against all of those things that you're perceived to be just based upon the fact that you're ugly, black, or a certain age, or white, or whatever you are. You will be looked at and they will say, here's what that person is. And until such time as you open your mouth and you let them know who you really are, you will be perceived that way. I don't care, but I will tell you this. I didn't want to be 53 spinning classic rock. I did my time playing rock and roll in the 70s. I had long hair, mutton chops, big freaking beard, bell bottoms, and I did it all, man. I went backstage at the shows and we did that. And I was not going to do that. Even if I had to starve to death. I said, well, I'll get into this, into talk radio. Well, it never occurred to me that there was another stage. I didn't think there was another stage. All I wanted to do was get the hell out of music radio and now do that. This is where I belong in this spoken word format. Now I can do my thing. It never occurred to me that after music radio and then moving into talk radio, so-called, that Phil Hendry had somewhere else to go. Straight to hell. And we'll be back to tell you where that is. No, I'll tell you more. I have another commercial break. Right, bud? All right, I'm going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, in a minute I'm going to announce, actually, there is an end date to all of this, a date that was agreed upon where I will do my last broadcast. It'll be a Friday. And it's not tomorrow, and it's not tonight. There's a little bit of time that we have. Not a lot, but a little bit of time. The other thing that is important is, in taking this act out from behind the microphone and putting it in front of a camera, doing that kind of work seems to require enough time during the day whereby it makes it very difficult to do a radio show too. And of course, again, you think, well, then why do it? Why not just stick with the radio show? For the reasons that I just gave you. There's a door that's open for me that's going to let a little fresh air into my life. And I think I need to step out and take a couple of lungs full of it, you know? Now, we've run out of time, so I can't give you the date right now. But when we come back from the break, I'll tell you the exact end date of the Phil Hendry broadcasts.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.